in we say Musaf on the Yom Tovim in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, as we sort of go from the highlights and the upbeat Atobachar Tanu and Vatitein Lanu, which focus on the unique character of any given Yanta, whatever it happens to be. And then we move into more of a somber note, maybe a sobering tone. Right, there's that tune is almost like an Eicha tune that brings us back down to the realization that we can talk about the Korban Musaf, we can read the Pesukim, we can describe the Korban Musaf. That was the way in which the holiday expressed itself in the Beis HaMikdash. But bottom line is we don't have that practical aspect of the Korban Musaf, and the way we begin that remembrance. Because of our averos, we were exiled from our land. We were distanced from Adama, the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael. We're unable, as a result, to come to the Beis HaMikdash to perform the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, to be seen before you, to bow before you, and to perform all of the things that we are obligated to perform in the Beis HaMikdash. Due to the fact that it was destroyed because of our avaros, we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash. Now notice the terms that we start with. It's almost redundant. We have to ask ourselves why both of those phrases are said. Galinu me'artzeinu, we were exiled from Artzeinu, from Eretz Yisrael. V'nisrachaknu, like Rachok, we are now far away from Admasenu. So what exactly is the difference? Why is it that there's a Galinu me'artzeinu v'nisrachaknu Admasenu? Isn't that really saying the same thing? What more are you discussing besides the gullus that you mentioned in the first place? Elamai, if the Anshei Knesset Gedola instituted a lashon that seems to be repetitive, it means that we're missing something, that there's a different dimension that is meant to be borne out by each of those terms. We need to analyze a little more closely what it's telling us. Galinu me'artzeinu, there's an aspect of gullus, there's an aspect of being exiled from Eretz Yisrael, and there's an aspect of being rachuk from Eretz Yisrael. That would suggest that it's possible to be in gullus, but not be far from Eretz Yisrael. Vice versa, it's possible to be far from Eretz Yisrael. And I'm sorry, it's possible to be close to Eretz Yisrael, but still in gullus. So how do those two aspects exist independently, such that we come to mention them both in the context of the Musaf that we see on the Yom Tov? So let's start with Sefer Bereishis. Parshas Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with Avraham Avinu, and among the many things we find in that parsha, Bris Bein HaBesarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael, the Bris Mila at the end of the parsha. Kosh Baruch says, I will give to your descendants, Avraham Avinu, this land where you live, Eretz Canaan, for an everlasting heritage, and I will be to you as a God. Immediately after the promise to give Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu is commanded by Kosh Baruch Hu, Ata as a brisi sishmar. What you need to do is, you need to observe my covenant. You need to uphold the bris. What's the bris? What's a bris? So we know Avraham Avinu was the first person to have a bris milah. So there's a cause and effect over here. There seems to be a relationship. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising Eretz Yisrael, and he follows that up with Ata as brisi sishmar, implying that the bris is a fundamental, a key component in being zochet Eretz Yisrael. And as the pasuk continues, zos brisi asher tishmu beini v'nechem, bein zaharacha acharacha, hi molochem kol zachar. You want to know what that bris is? You want to know what is it you have to do? How do you construct a covenant with the Kodesh Baruch Hu such that you'll be zochet Eretz Yisrael and be able to keep the land that I'm promising to you? Bris mila. Seems to be very clear from the sequence of the pasuk. Eretz Yisrael, bris, translates into circumcision. Nevertheless, when the Medrash, Ve'ikar Rabba, Parsha Emor, this week's Parsha, when it refers to these Pesukim, seems to give us an entirely different perspective that almost uproots and turns the Pesukim that we just read on their head. Am Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Nechem, Rabbi Yaakov, Abba, B'shem Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Yochanan, B'shem Malakish, She, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar, Li'ol Malti Mitzvahs Ha'omer Kal Be'necha. It says in Rabbi Yaakov, Abba, do not let the mitzvah of the Omer ever be Kala Be'necha. You gotta take it seriously. Don't disregard it. Al Tehi Mitzvahs Ha'omer Kal Be'necha, Sha'ayde Mitzvahs Ha'omer Zocha Avraham Lirash Es Erez Kanan. Because of the mitzvah of Omer, that is how Avraham Avinu was zocha to receive Eretz Yisrael as a land that his children would inherit. As the pasuk says, "Hu dechsev v'nasati l'chol zarcha acharecha." That's exactly the pasuk we just read. And then the pasuk says, "Almanas." This is the Medrash interpreting the way we did a moment ago. "Almanas on condition ba'atas brisi sishmor, that you fulfill, you observe my covenant." What's a covenant? So if I ask you to fill in the blank, we just saw the next puzzle that comes afterwards is you keep bris milah. Zos bris yashar tzidur. This is the bris. Nevertheless, the Medrash says no. Medrash says, Ezo zeh, what is this? What is this brisi sishmor that you must uphold? Zeh mitzvos omer. Here you're telling me that the mitzvah of Omer was integral, necessary for Avraham Avinu to merit Eretz Yisrael for his children, for himself, and by extension his descendants. He didn't have the mitzvah. But moreover, what about the pasuk? The pasuk says bris milah is the bris that's being referenced over here. So how do you translate that into a commandment of Omer to the extent that the Midrash says don't take the mitzvah of Omer lightly? Because after all, that's the reason why we're Zoch Eretz Yisrael. So what's the connection of Omer to Eretz Yisrael? What's the connection with Avraham Avinu? What's the connection with the Bris? All these things we need to figure out. So in the Sefer Mayim Beis HaShoeva, Rav Schwab offers a perspective that ties together several of these issues and clarifies what our avodah is right now. And we don't have a chance to talk about this on Yom HaAtzmaut, but it should still echo in our head this time of year between Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, that we recognize the special connection that we have to Eretz Yisrael and the fact that we have to value it and what we need to do to uphold that. Not a coincidence, perhaps, and Parshas Achrayimos, which we read last week, which always falls out this time of year, the Torah tells us what we need to do to retain Eretz Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that issues of morality in Gilui Arayos, that was the norm for the behavior of the Goyim who were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. And if we want to stay here, we need to merit that as well. This week is Parshas Emor. Next week we have Bahar. Bahar also talks about Shemitah. Shemitah is another mitzvah that says explicitly in Torah and Chazal and Tocha brings this out that the punishment, the galus punishment comes because you don't keep Shemitah. You have to leave Eretz Yisrael if you can't uphold the rules that keep it. So it's not a coincidence. These parshios are telling the story of our lives in real time. This time of year. So it's so very appropriate to find a lesson, an Eretz Yisrael lesson here in Parshas Emor 2. Explains Rishwab. In a Minchas Omer Baminas Orem. The Minchas Omer that we've been talking about for the last week and a half. The Pesukim Parshas Emor, Sugya Menachos, that Sfiras Omer is discussed. Shumaycha Behema comes from barley. And barley is normally the grain that's fed to animals. To cows for them to eat. Lahorosh ayde katsira shalema bekedusha pimitzvah Hashem benipoy beyidgom unafe yichol mahakrib gam meichel behemah mezbeach Hashem. So the first thing that teaches us is that by being kotzer, by reaping this harvest, even of meichel behemah, if you do it the way you're supposed to and you follow the mitzvah of Hashem and you proceed to sift it. The Gemara says that they would sift it 13 times. 13 times. You can purify even the most base animalistic components of creation and bring them as back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, Alam Shechom Laos Gam HaNefesh HaBahamis Aydei Esnagus B'Kedusha B'Nipoy Achar Nipoy Achetia Rech Nechol Hashem. A human being can take the Nefesh HaBahamis, the physical component of his existence and raise it up to a level of Kedusha by through that Ketzira and a continuous process of purification. That's the sifting 13 times. Inin Zayav, it's or, this will help shed light to understand the words of Chachamim. The Brisa, the Rosh quotes in Sachem, Ala Pasuk Shiva Shuos Tispor Lach Me'achel Chermesh Bakama Tachel Lispor. Pasuk we saw yesterday, Parshas Re'eh, you have to count 7 weeks. When do those 7 weeks start? They start from the moment that the sickle hits the kama. The kama is the standing stalk of grain in the field. We darshan from there. Al tikri bakama el bakoma. Al tikri bakama el bakoma. Don't use the simple reading of the pasuk bakama, the standing stalk of grain. Bakoma, bakoma means upright. And that teaches us shesfiras omer tzarch leos b'amita. That a person needs to count Sefiras HaOmer, the way they perform the mitzvah, is while standing. Atikru b'kama el b'kama. Now that shouldn't just be understood as a reference in the pasuk. Oh, gezer shava, standing up, something like that. No, it's much deeper than that. Once you're using the standing stalk of grain to be a symbol for how we are supposed to stand ourselves, as it were, so it means that the stalk of grain itself is representative of a yid, of a human being. Pirish, sha'anu mishulam lakama shel sa'orim misada. We are compared to that standing stalk of grain in the field. V'shaskim it's a sefiras ha'omer ki'ilu anu nixar min hakarka. Just like we said before, the animalistic components of creation are cut off from the ground in the process of sefiras ha'omer. Likewise, we are like creations that are attached to the earth. And mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer disconnects us and is kotzer us from that root that we have in the ground. V'zeh mashem lam demosan chazal, this is what Chazal is teaching us. Shekamosha mitzvah Sefira maschel smeachel chermesh bakama lenatko michibur bakarka. How do we begin Sefiras HaOmer? Disconnection. By removing the chibur, the attachment to the karka. V'alidei zeh nasa roi la'alsam mizbeach Hashem, and that's what gives us access to ascend the ramp of the Mizbeach, kein inin asfira etzel adam shekam hu menatek es atzmim l'yos gidlum ha'aretz. The process that we undergo during Sefiras HaOmer, likewise, is a process by which we disconnect from that we'll say, more natural, organic state of being gidlum ha'aretz. Hamora al esdab kuso b'chonrias, v'yalamal l'yos merkav al kuso yisbarach. When we're born as human beings, when we exist in our simplest state, so we are fully connected and wholly attached to physicality, to Gashmias. But through a process we're supposed to undergo now during Sefiras HaOmer, we can rise up to be a Merkava, to be the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Practical advice and directions and instructions for tonight. And every one of the few weeks that are left, as you continue night after night during those weeks to Sefiras HaOmer through Shavuos. What should I be considering? In order to reach that point of Kabbalah Satara, which everyone knows, Sefiras HaOmer is directed towards and is counting towards, the process of preparation starts and ends with a continuous and reinforced, again and again, every single night, Sefiras HaOmer, to be prepared for Kabbalah Satorah by being menatek, by disconnecting from Artzias, from our natural association and rooting into Gashmias. Bezel dimnil is in mitzvah smil. So now let's go back to what we started with. If in fact Sefiras HaOmer represents a disconnecting of the human soul from Gashmias, so we understand how somehow, magically, in reading the Medrash before, the Baal HaMedrash were able to use the psukim that describe Avram Avinu being commanded Bris Milah to actually refer to Sefiras HaOmer in some dimension and its connection to Eretz Yisrael. Because in Mitzvah Milah, what is the Chosim Os Bris Kodesh, as we refer to it? What is the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy bris that is made in the flesh of every Jewish male? Dafka makum makor hatayva habahamis. it's no coincidence where that little bit of skin is removed from in the human body. Because where it's removed from, the Makam Ha'Orla is representative of the root of a person's animalistic desires and impulses. That removal of a chelik of a guf from that which is associated with impulse and desire, and not ruchnis, but the pursuing of gashmis, that is a tikkun that actually changes the body to be a body. The Jewish body is a body which is holier and removed. There's a nituk. There's a disconnect from the physicality that the rest of the world remains with, and the rest of the world was created with. In the same way that Omer is a disconnect from the Gashmias, it patterns itself after Bris Milah, which is meant to accomplish the same thing and symbolize the same process. Oh, so he says, now we understand, this is the key line, now we understand why it is that the Bris Beit HaMisarim, following the Bris Beit HaMisarim and the Tzivoy for Bris Milah, there's a continuum and there's a sequence by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you fulfill my Bris, you will be Zocha to have Eretz Yisrael. That's your goal. That's what you're aiming for, Avraham Avinu. Why? The two have to be juxtaposed. The two are simultaneous. Kidusiv, Benasati L'chol Zaharcha Acharecha, I will give to you and your descendants this land. It's called Eretz Kanan L'chuzas Olam. What happened? What existed in Eretz Yisrael before the Jews got there? That was a place of domination of the Nefesh HaBahamas, similar to what we said before, like the Pasuk says last week, Kamaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, just like the way they behave in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Mitzrayim, Kamaisa Eretz Kanan, and the behavior in Eretz Kanan, Lo Sasu, those were the those locations were the pinnacle of immorality and of perverse behavior. It was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it Kedusha by establishing the Beis HaMikdash there, and so on and so forth, all the things that ensued when the Jews entered Eretz Israel. That was the transformation that, just like Bris Milah, can transform the human body. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying in the Medrash. The Bris Milah, and by extension, the Sefirot HaOmer, which is something now as mature adults, not just when we're babies at 8 days old, we have no idea what's going on. But as mature adults, every single night we're supposed to think about Sefirot HaOmer, the process of Kabbalah Satorah and preparing for it, is the nituk from the chibur, disconnect from being rooted into Gashmias, into the earth, which represents our physicality and our connection to the more base desires and needs of a human being. And that ultimately is what gives a person the koach, not just to prepare for a Kabbalah Satorah, but also the schus of Eretz Yisrael. The schus of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is earned not simply through pioneers working the land, not simply through our wars and battles with surrounding Arab nations or with the anti-Semitism in the United Nations. Those are all the gashmius manifestations are ishtadlus. But the zchus to maintain Eretz Yisrael and to merit Eretz Yisrael, going back to Ravine when he was originally promised it, is to be human beings that are a cut above, no pun intended, that's a Ksiris HaOmer, that's a Bris Milah, that we're cut off from the ground, we're cut off from the Artzius. I think this is borne out, Rishrat doesn't have this, but this is borne out by a vort that we find in the Chassidus Sfarim earlier in Parshas Lech Lecha. We saw, I'm sorry, before it was Parshas Vayir, and Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu is commanded as follows. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, u'mimoladetecha, u'mibeis avicha, el ha'arta she'areka. Lech Lecha, you have to go for yourself, me'artzecha, from your land, u'mimoladetecha, right, from your homeland where you were born. Is there any repetition over here? It seems a little bit redundant. So the Hasidim explain, specifically, number 6 over here is from B'nai Saschar, in the Igor the Kala, he explains that there's actually a communication, not just with Avraham Avinu, in the literal sense, but there's a communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Neshama. Hashem is giving Eitzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a recommendation, giving advice to the soul. Number 6, first thing you need to do is, Go and separate yourself me'achirus shehiknu la'atzmo v'chavol b'gufo as asku b'mosros tenuge olam. You have to purify yourself, and you need to cleanse yourself from the extra pursuing of pleasures that you just don't need, that sometimes distract a person. If you look in the Memchas Kinyonim, the 48 ways that a person merits Torah in the 6th parak of Pirkei Avos, with the additional brisa that was added on to make it 6 prakim, so there's a section there. Miyachina, miyatainug, miyadarach eretz, miyatzchok, a whole system of minimizing our pursuit of physical aspects of our being, not just because we're supposed to be like a hermit living in the wilderness and disconnected from society, but simply because if we're wrapped up and we're always pursuing our physical needs, we need to pursue those physical needs for our safety, for our health, to the extent that that's necessary, that's absolutely a mitzvah and required, but we shouldn't be meshubed to it. We shouldn't be meshubed to our physicality. Sometimes, you know, we have certain expectations of what we're going to have for lunch or for dinner, and we don't end up getting served what we're hoping for, what we want. We don't always get enough sleep that we're expecting, and sometimes we just have to be satisfied with what we have, and not look for more, not feel like I didn't get what I'm looking for. I have to keep searching it out, keep working to achieve it. I have to take what HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for my nefesh and for my guf in order to keep it healthy and allow it to be a means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once I become so wrapped up in the gashmias, so it distracts me and makes it impossible for me to maintain the spiritual pursuits at the forefront of my consciousness. Like we saw earlier in the year in Parak Tetzim Sil Sesharim, a person has to be Odon Ba'atzmo. And if the only way you can eat your dinner is in a certain fashion with certain luxuries and certain expectations, then you're going to get so wrapped up with it that it'll take you a long time. And when someone says, oh, you have to interrupt, you have to go down to Mincha, I have to go down to Marav, you're going to miss it. So you won't be able to exert the self-control to put down the gashmis that you're involved in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the more a person is an Adam Ba'atzmo, the more they're able to be in control, not to be a slave to their gashmis, to fulfill the gashmis that they need, not to be a slave to it. And that's what allows us to earn Eretz Yisrael. So what the statement to Avraham Avinu, or the statement to the Neshama is, Lech lecha me'artzecha, me'artziyusecha. You need to go not from your land, not simply from the land that you're in, or constant, wherever Avram happens to be. Go from that land, from Haran, and go to Eretz Yisrael. No, the journey, more than the geographic distance that you're traveling, is a departure not from your Eretz, but from your Artzius, from the Artzius, from the physicality that defines you. That's how a person grows in their Avodas Hashem and is able to make a great achievements. And that's perhaps what the Pasuk the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei that we started with, we asked, what is the Kavana of the Tefillah over here? We recognize because of our Chatoim, we were exiled, Galina Me'artzeinu, v'nisrachach me'alad Maseinu. And we were Misrachek, we are now distant from our land, from Eretz Yisrael, from our Adama. So why do you need both? A golos is a rechok. If you're exiled from Eretz Yisrael, maybe you're distant from Eretz Yisrael. And we said, no, clearly there's a demonstration through this choice selection of phrases that you can be in golos and not be far from Eretz Yisrael. Or you can be in Eretz Yisrael proper, not in golos, and still be rechok. We, unfortunately, are suffering from both. How do you have one and not the other? How can you be in Goloth and still close to Eretz Yisrael? How can you be in Eretz Yisrael and still Rachok? The answer is what we're saying right now. Physically, I can be in Eretz Yisrael. If I'm not in Eretz Yisrael, it means I'm in Goloth. But spiritually, what defines my connection to Eretz Yisrael, as we've seen today, is not where I'm actually standing, but how much what defines me and what guides me and what embodies my existence is Artzius. Am I a physical being? If I am, so then I'm Rachok Me'alad Maseinu. But if I'm disconnected, if I use the Tzira Omer every night to think about the fact that that Tzira Omer is counting from that disconnect from the ground, from the karka, from the nefesh habahamis, from the behema, from the animal side of human existence, the more that I disconnect from that, the more that I'm shaykh to Eretz Yisrael. There's no richuk min adama, even if I'm in galus. I can be close to Eretz Yisrael. I can be in Eretz Yisrael like a Jew, because I'm doing what I need to earn Eretz Yisrael and to maintain Eretz Yisrael, provided that I'm behaving in a way that puts the neshama at the forefront of my consciousness and my goals. Just to be Messiah, I want to share with you a piece. We're not going to be in shir together when we get up to Parshas Naso, when the Torah talks about the Nazir. So take a look at this piece from Rav Pinkus, which appears in the Sefer Tveras Torah, in Parshas Naso. So what Rav Pinkus is talking about over here is the Nazir, as I said, and specifically what the mila of a Nazir is and why he's called a Nazir. Nazir is a crown. Nazir is a crown. Nazir. So the fact that he's wearing something not just marking his head, but marking above his head, shows a certain capacity of the Nazir to reach beyond the normal human existence. But the lesson he has over here, even though it's referring to someone who goes higher and higher than the average person, is relevant to our conversation right now, because that's really what we're asking. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us as well. To earn Eretz Yisrael, to merit Eretz Yisrael, we need to rise up head and shoulders above everyone around us and standard human existence. And he says like this, let's try to imagine the following imagery that will illustrate what it means to be a superhuman, that a Yid always is expected to be, and a Nazir to an even higher degree. Let's say a person wants to reach high. He wants to be taller. And he jumps 1,000 times. One time he jumps a few inches, then he jumps a few more inches. If you add them all up, could be after 1,000 jumps, he has in fact jumped hundreds of amos. Nevertheless, you look where he is, he's still on the ground. The lama, why is that so? It's very simple. There's something called gravity, and gravity pulls you back to where you started. There's a connection that persists, that leaves you on the ground, and attached to the ground, connected to the ground. So as many times as you try to defy that, you're going to find yourself in the same place. But if you can reach a point, even for one moment, where you are above the pull of gravity, above the earth, then all those 1,000 jumps won't bring you back to where you started. For that one moment that you're able to reach above where the gravity no longer can pull you down, you're just going to keep going. You're going to go higher and higher and continue without end. He says, he says, this is what happens every time they launch a shuttle or a rocket ship to space. So the rocket ship, if anything, weighs thousands of times more than you do and is even less likely to be able to reach a higher point. But how does it do it? It just needs to get past the pull of gravity. Once it gets to the orbit of the earth and beyond, so then the propulsion and the momentum that started when it left the earth allows it to keep going so much further, up to the moon, up to Mars, wherever it's going. El Shatil Mishromim B'Kol Godol Ad Michusim Shichas Kadar Arts, the key to successful launch is just getting past the earth's gravitational pull. Once it gets to that point, it just keeps going. That's the crown of the Nazir. That's the crown of a Nazir. The reason why we call him a Nazir, a nazir, a crown, is because he was able to appoint just above human existence, a crown on the head, the highest point, the peak of the human body. He got a little bit past that. And once you break from the attachment to the physicality, not just the sky is the limit. There is no limit. And you're just going to keep going further and further as you rise into your spirituality. But who you sowed gadol ba'etzem nechona, listen to this carefully, Rabbosai, because this is something that we all think about. We can think about it on Yom Kippur. We can think about it at other points in the year when we try to improve ourselves and to wake up a little bit earlier from in, to be more consistent in our Seder, to be more focused in our Mevatel Torah. We try to do anything that will raise our personal standards and achievements in Avodas Hashem. So Golva Itzin Achonu B'Avodas Ha'Olam L'Sagas HaGalos. Here is a key piece of advice for a person who's trying to reach greatness. Kol Echem Mishtad L'Shom, everyone's trying to grow. Abba Machmas Nafsho K'shu L'Chomrius, but because we're still stuck, connected to Chomrius, to our physicality, I feel she's Roman V'Yasek Fitos. You can make thousands, ten thousands of jumps. Every morning you can start with a new Kabbalah, a new Harusa, a new effort to achieve something you never did before in your Torah and Mitzvos. Sov davar nishar b'osam makom kashal adama. You're just going to bounce back. You're not going to get anywhere beyond where you started. Why? Because that's the difference between someone who is able to make strides and not able to make strides. All the attempts, all the changes, all the modifications will only kick in and will only be productive if you're no longer tied down to the ground. It could be the gravitational pull, or as a Rebbe of mine once tried to illustrate with a rubber band. If you take a rubber band and you stretch it at the top, but your finger is holding down the bottom to the desk, to the table, so as far as you pull it up, you let go, it snaps, and goes right back where it started. Only if you raise the bar will the top of the rubber band continue to go higher. The gravitational pull is the same, and the pull of Gashmus is the same. We can make positive efforts of Asei Tov, but we also need to remove some of the Svarmeira. We need to remove some of the garbage in the basement. We have to clean out the cellar in order that our baseline is higher than where it started. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting pulled back. And the efforts that we should be expending now during these weeks of Sefiras HaOmer, please, every person in their own right, they want to talk about areas in which they can focus this and be successful in doing so. Please, let's talk. I'm happy to talk to everyone individually. But look for ways in which your gashmius has control over you, in which aspects of your physicality make it impossible to go beyond where you've hit before, because you're meshuga to it. Where you cut that out, again, in a reasonable way that doesn't compromise your health, that doesn't compromise your well-being or your kochos in Avodas Hashem, but to cut it out in a way that's holding you back. Just like the kid who goes to Eretz Yisrael Shal Aleph and doesn't get turned on until January. Because every Thursday night before that point, he was going out to Ben Yehuda. So he had to cut that out of his routine, out of his lifestyle, and focus and be able to be 100% in the game, in the learning. And then he flourished, and then he grew. We have to look for those things that are pulling us down in order to be able to launch past the gravitational pull, to disconnect from the Artzius. Again, every night, Sefiras HaOmer, think about that. Disconnect from the Artzius. And always keep in mind that it's the way, in this unique tekufa, that none of us have ever experienced, where we, in our lives, we've never had a time when we could not be in Eretz Yisrael if we wanted to get on a plane and go. We can't be there. Nisra chaktum me'alad maseinu. What's the richuk? Not geographic. The richuk is that we have to be Eretz Yisrael Dika Jews, no matter where we live. And that is to be disconnected from the Artzius, from the physicality, and be individuals who are focused on ruchnias and ultimately zochah to be makabel Torah.